now. Book of Romans, chapter number 13. And look at a few verses here and share with you what the Lord's laid on my heart. I want to say thank you to the church for praying for us. We got several texts and calls, and I hope I replied to all of them that come through to me. And it's been a week. Even today, I felt like a run-over dog just running around in circles, chasing my tail. And but we've made it, and everybody's good. Told Casey this. I said, in the line of work that I'm in, most of the time when I pull up and see a car in the shape that her Jeep was in, I'm putting them in a body bag. I'm not taking them to the hospital to get them checked out. And I'm thankful for the God that we have. And ain't nobody like Him. He's hard to beat. Nobody, no one to compare Him to. Thankful for our God. Romans chapter number 13, verse number 11. When you find it, if you'll say amen. The Bible says this: and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in the strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Father, we want to thank you tonight for Jesus. God, we thank you for this opportunity to come into your house and, God, to worship you. God, we thank you for this people. God, we thank you for this place. God, we pray now that for the next little while that you would bring back to our memory what we've studied. And God, may everything that is said and done bring honor and glory to you. Don't let us say nothing that we don't need to, but all things that you would have us to here tonight. We love you and we thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. I want to draw your attention to this little phrase in verse number 11. That now it is high time to awake out of our sleep. For the next few minutes, I want to talk to you on this thought, on this subject. It's time for us to wake up. And as we look around and as we listen to the happenings of our day and what's going on around us, I would say that it should shake the child of God to our core. It should shake us and it should stir us up on the inside as we see these events beginning to unfold, as we see the things taking place. It should stir the people of God and it should get us and stir us up to the point that we get out of our indifferences and the cold heart that we can get sometimes. We should get out of the living room and maybe get into the prayer closet. We should get out of the formalities and get into the fire and get into the fight for the cause of Christ. We should get out of the social event and the social aspect of just coming to church and maybe get into some soul winning and telling others about Christ. As we see what's taking place and unfolding, I believe this, the book of Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says, Paul asks a question here. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? And he's asking them a personal question. And that word bewitched is simply, there's a word picture that takes place here, and it's simply saying that they've been hypnotized, they've been rocked to sleep. And this picture that we see is that of a serpent sitting there with a bird on the ground. And that serpent's tongue has hypnotized that bird. Definitely the bird can take flight and his wings can take him out of harm's way, but the tongue of that serpent has caught the eyes of that bird, and that bird is locked in until the snake moves in for attack. That's the same place the child of God and the church is today, I believe. We've been rocked asleep by the tongue of the serpent. We've been rocked asleep by the social events of the church, and it's time that we wake up and get back to the things of God in our day and hour. We see this, and the church is there, and the church, it's time for us to wake up in this day and hour, just to wake up. It's time for us to wake up when we see that religious people resent holiness. We look around at the churches in our area, in our nation, in our state, and we see where it's not popular to be holy anymore. We see where they're promoting the sodomites. We see where they're promoting just giving in marriage and living together, and we see that they're promoting everything that goes against God's word. So if it's holy, they for against it, and if it's against God's word, they're for it. We see that not only that, but the recovering is rejected. We see that Rome, we look at across the seas, and Rome is romancing, and we see that is the central the center for idolatry, and all the way back through the scriptures we see that Russia, she's a rolling. We see that is a Magog in your Bible, and we see that they look at them and you see what they're doing, and all of these things are going on, and it should shake us as the child of God to our very core. And then the rapture is soon to come. Hey, I believe this. Y'all may disagree with me, but I believe the stage is set. I believe everything is in line. All that has to happen is for the Father to look at the Son and say, "Go get my bride." It's nearly time for Him to come, and we better wake out of our sleep, because we've been rocked to sleep as a church and as a child of God. I got just a few things for you. If you'll bear with me, I'll move through them pretty quick. Number one, I want you to notice this. Thinking on, we need to wake up. The saints need to stand up. The saints need to stand up. We need to stand up. We are surrounded by this feeble need, faint-hearted crowd. They're standing for nothing worthwhile, but they're falling for everything worth nothing in our day and hour. We see that the saints need to stand. We don't have time to sit around and do nothing and sing lullabies. But will the saints just stand up? Hey, when we're approached by adversity, it's time for us to stand up. As a child of God, it's time for us to stand for some things. We need to stand for our faith. We need to stand for our faith. We need to stand for our Savior. We need to stand for the Scriptures. We need to stand firm on the Scriptures. It burns my hide, Brother Mike, when I go preach at a church and they want to put my Scripture up on the screen, which is fine. I don't mind it. But the first question they want to ask me is, what version are you using, the King James? Well, yeah, that's the only one I got. That's the only one there is. Why can't we take a stand for the Scriptures? Why can't we take a stand for the Savior and stand for what He believes in and what He's taught us in His Word? We need to take a stand for our faith, for our Lord. We need to stand for His church. We need to stand for His children, and we need to stand for His person. We need to stand for our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, there's a banner that we need to be waving as a child of God. There's a witness that we need to keep as a child of God, and we need to be telling others about Him. We need to stand for our liberty. We need to stand for our liberty. We enjoy it at the cost of somebody. Somebody paid for our liberty. Somebody paid for us to be able to enjoy our liberty. And if we're enjoying it, it cost somebody. If we loafing, somebody paid for it for us to be able to loaf, because we live in a free country. Somebody paid for it. We need to stand for our liberties, because I don't know if y'all realize this or not, but they're pulling them away from us as fast as they can, because we've not took a stand. We've not stood up for it. Let me ask you a question. I want you to be real serious with me right here for just a moment. If somebody comes to your house and they just invite themselves right on in, and they go over there and your wife has made a big pound cake, Are you just going to let this stranger go over and get your whole pound cake, fellas? We fighting. I'm talking about we fighting. In the kitchen, I'm grabbing butcher knives, ball bat, whatever I can get my hands on. He ain't getting my cake. What are we going to do if he comes in there in the middle of the night, a thief? He's coming in. We just going to let him come in? No, we live in a society where the thief's right and we're wrong. We better stand for something that's creeping in to our churches. We need to stand for the Holy Spirit. We need to stand for the Holy Spirit. We need His presence to bless us. We need to stand for, I'm on His side. I'm all for the Holy Spirit. I'm all for Him doing whatever He feels He needs to do in me and in the church where we are. I'm all for the Holy Spirit. I'm standing for Him. A lot of places I go, you say something about the Holy Ghost and you can see them. They'll suck air, slap out of the building. Oh, Lord. He's one of them fanatics. Hey, we need to stand for. We need His power. We need His power to change us. Hey, we need our young'uns to be able to experience the power of the Holy Ghost in the church where we at. We need the power of the Holy Ghost of God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need His purpose to guide us. I don't know about you, but it's hard sometimes for me to go in the right direction. Because old Philip gets to wanting to go where old Philip wants to go. I get to pulling me in different directions. Hey, I know me. If you knew me like I know me, you'd be scared too. I know me, and it pulls me in different bad directions sometimes. I need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You say, how do you know when He's guiding? When I'm going in the right direction. Because when I'm going wrong, it's on me. We need Him for His guidance. We need to stand for victory in our Christian life. I'm going to slow down right here for a minute and I want to talk to us. There's some that have lost some battles. And victory ain't nowhere in your expectations. Victory ain't nowhere in your vocabulary anymore. But let me say, if you'll just keep standing, you may get knocked down this time. I'm one of them. My daddy, y'all pardon me, this may not be a pulpit word, but my daddy told me I was too stupid to quit. That's what he's always told. He said, boy, you're just too stupid to quit. If I get knocked down, I'm going to get up and go again. You're going to have to knock me down again. Don't quit. Just keep standing. Just keep standing until victory comes. I promise you, if you're a born-again child of God, victory's coming. Victory's on your side. Through the Holy Spirit of God and through the help of Him, victory is on your side. We need to stand for victory. Some maybe have been whipped time and time again. The devil jump on you and beat you down, wear you out. Hey, it gets tiring sometimes because this is the thing. He can't have our heart, but he can sure mess up our mind. And I can testify that you can't go get a mind pill to straighten this thing out because your mind runs wild and your mind will convince you of crazy things. And that's where he infiltrates us, and he may beat you mentally. He may beat you down, but it's time for us to stand as a child of God and get up and fight for victory. You may have been a sitter for so long, you're afraid to stand anymore. There ain't no time like the present for us to stand for what we believe in. Let me say, child of God, just stand. Bible says over in the book of Ephesians chapter number 6 about putting on the whole armor of God. We're putting it on not to protect us, but so that we can stand when the battle comes. When the fight comes, we got something that'll help us stay balanced and to help us protect us in the fight. Not just to put it on so we can sit there with our hands crossed and sing Kumbaya, but so that we can stand against those fiery darts that'll come against us. Child of God, stand. In our day and hour, we need more to stand. It's so easy. It's so easy to give in. I was old preacher that I read after a lot. He was one of my great uncle's best friends. And his son used to be in the right way. He used to believe like us. He used to preach like us. He used to sing like us. He used to do things the right way. Now, if his daddy could, he'd be turning cartwheels in his grave. He's went total the other way. Hey, we need somebody that'll stand. We need somebody that's not just because a preacher said it, but because the Bible said it, to stand. child of God, the saints need to stand up. Not only that, but we need to wake up because the saints need to get stirred up. We need to get stirred up. I ain't much of a cook, by no means. I'm talking about I can cook enough to keep me from starving, which I got a long way to go. But I like making cornbread. I'm talking about cornbread. I'm not talking about, I ain't going to get in on all that, but I like making cornbread. And ain't nothing tires me up, Brother Jamie, any more than for me to get ready to pour my cornmeal and my milk, my buttermilk, where I done mixed it up in the pan, only to realize that I didn't have a big enough spoon to reach way down there in the bottom and get all of it mixed up real good. It just burns my hide, because then I got to pour it back in there and mix it up again and get it all. But let me say that the spoon that we're talking about is big enough to stir us up to in the very bottom. And we need to allow Him, the Holy Spirit of God, to get way down deep inside of us and stir us up with a big spoon as the children of God. We need to be stirred up. We've sat around with our hands folded. We've sat around defeated and cold and doom and gloom and down and out long enough. It's time for us to take the challenge and get stirred up for the honor and the glory of God. We need to get stirred up. Hey, it's so easy to get complacent. It's so easy to take the easy road. It's so easy about that. But I say we need to get stirred up about that Savior that leads us. Hey, I'm excited about Jesus. I'm excited about what Jesus has done for me. I'm thankful for what He's done for me. But we need to get excited and go tell somebody about Jesus. We need to get stirred up. Y'all remember, I remember when I first got saved, I wasn't but 6 years old. Some folks don't believe 6 years old and get saved, but I've been saved for about 33 years now. And I'm talking about He saved pudding out of me when I was six. And I ain't got over it yet. And I was telling everybody. It didn't matter who it was. And I went down there and told one of my little buddies that lived up the road from me. I said, "Hey, Chris," I said, "I got saved." He said, "Oh, yeah, I'm saved too." I said, No. "No, you don't understand." And I didn't understand all of it at six. And I'll be honest with you, I still can't grasp the whole to all what He's done for me. But I know this, He's done way more for me than anybody else ever done for me. And I ain't got over it. I'm excited for Jesus. We need to get stirred up about the Savior that leads us. We need to get stirred up about the salvation that gives life, eternal life. I'm talking about we just going to live forever. I mean, ain't nothing to get excited about. We ain't going to never die. We just going to heaven to live forever with Jesus. Nothing. Don't get too undignified. We just going to live forever. Get stirred up. We were excited at one point in time. We didn't pass nobody without telling them. We need to get stirred up about a stewardship that leaves a godly witness behind. We can talk about all the accolades and Casey can go win ball games and she can go invest in young ladies and we can go here and we can go there. But let me tell you, if I don't leave a good witness and a stack of wore out Bibles with them four boys that live down at the Swafford house, I ain't done my job. A stewardship that leaves a good witness. If I die today, and Lord, I ain't trying to get up a load, but if it happens, I don't want people to talk about how good of this I done, how good of that I done. I want them to know that I love God and that I done my best to live for Him. A stewardship that leaves a good witness. And then we need to get stirred up about the souls that need to be won. Listening to Dr. Curtis Hudson, he's been gone for some time now. Love reading and listening to him. This is what he said. He said, if we started today with all the lost people that are in the world, in the United States of America, and this has been some time ago, he's been dead, 20 years or so now, This is what he said. He said it would take some 320 years for us to reach every one of them. 320 years if we went door to door, soul winning, to reach every lost person in America. That's a sobering thought. We need to get stirred up about some lost folks. There's some lost folk in Bowden, Georgia. There's some lost folk that's our neighbors. We need to get stirred up again. Hey, those folks that's been branded by society. Those folks that's been bruised by sin. We need to get stirred up about them. Hey, I don't care what they look like. They don't bother me. One thing my daddy used to do, he used to try to find the meanest man in town. That's the one he went after first. We moved to Rome, Georgia. He said, he asked the chairman of the dean, he said, who's the roughest guy in town? He said, he's a guy by the name of Jeff Green. Said he's a 6-time national 8th degree black belt, whatever the highest ranking black belt there is. Said he's a bad dude. Said don't mess with him. This, I ain't worried about him. He said, I got the Lord and Smith and Wesson. Amen. He said, I'll go see him. So he did. He went to him. And the way that they met was my dad had some Indian artifacts sitting out in the truck at the convenience store. Jeff come back in and they told him who he was. And he come in, he said, whose few choice words truck is that out there with them rocks in it? My daddy, he's smart aleck sometimes. He said, it's mine. What business is it of yours? Guy on the store, he said, hey man, you don't know who that is. He said, I don't care who it is. He's asking about my truck. From that day forward, there was a friendship created over some arrowheads and Indian artifacts. We hunted and fished. Matter of fact, first turkey I ever killed was with this man. This is what he said. His mama was a faithful member of the church where my dad pastored. He said, look, I ain't got time for church. I don't have time for God. He said, I made a deal with Satan. If he would allow me to win every match I was in, I'd let him have my soul. My daddy said, well, and I was sitting in the back seat. Y'all remember them old Chevrolet S10s? They thought they was going to be cute and put a bucket seat in the back. That's where we got packed as kids. Was in that back little area. I was sitting back there, and I'd always get kind of nervous around him. I mean, he was bad. I mean, Chuck Norris ain't got nothing on this cat. And I'd get nervous. And when he told my dad that, Dad pulled over on the side of the road. He looked at me. He said, I want you to look me right in the eyes. He said, the only problem with the deal you made with Satan is he's a liar. And he can't have your soul because it's already been paid for. He said, what are you talking about? I said, he let me do that. He said, nah, he can't do all that, but he's a liar. Through prayer and prayer and prayer, he began to come to church. One Easter Sunday morning, he was sitting right here on the front pew. The preacher preached, give the plan of salvation. This big, burly, tough guy. I'm talking about chiseled out, bad to the bone. Done whooped everybody in Floyd County. Police is scared of him. Just fell from the front pew to the altar. Asked the Lord to save him. Hey, it's the rough ones. I'll take them too. It don't matter how bad they are. It don't matter what they've done or where they've been. That's the ones we want. Because if we can get them to sell out to God like they sold out to the world and to the devil, imagine what they can do for God. We need to get stirred up about lost souls. Thirdly, we need to wake up because the saints need a checkup. We need a checkup. We think our bodies need checkups. We go to the doctor and get checked up, made sure everything's right. Those that own businesses or work for a business, you got inventory. Has to be done. Either twice a year, once a year, however you do it. But they take inventory on what's going on, and they try to make corrections to where it's profitable and moving in the right direction. Same goes for us. We need to check up. We need to check up on ourselves. We need to check up on a detailed account about salvation. I'm talking about, you say, well, I don't remember everything I said. I don't either. Be honest with you, I don't remember what I said 30 minutes ago. My wife will testify, I don't remember nothing. She does. She remembers what happened 15 years ago when we first started dating. Can I get a witness, man? Word for word, second by second, she's got a photographic time stamp on everything I said. I can't remember. But here's what I know. I remember the place. I can take you to a place. I got a place where I got born again. We need a detailed account through all this that's been going on since last Thursday, almost a week ago. Little old Coy, he kind of took the blunt of it. He's a pretty tough old cat anyway. And all Coy could say the whole time was, they got home and he said, Mama, I'm sure glad I'm saved. We got to the hospital and the nurse started checking him out. They was running us through there. He told that little nurse, he said, we might tore the Jeep up. He said, we might have messed up face. He said, but I'm sure glad I'm saved. So all the little fella could think about was, I'm sure glad I'm saved. I'm glad that he's got a place. He may not remember the exact day, and he may not remember exactly what he said, but he can go back to a time in his little old life where he knelt and he asked the Lord to save him. Hey, we need to have that etched in our hearts, in our soul, that we are saved. And when all hell breaks loose and our little old world's turned upside down, we can say, you know what? I can check up right now. And I know that without a shadow of a doubt that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. How many of you saved tonight? Anybody identify with that? I'm glad I'm saved. I'm talking about when it gets bad. We can just go back to when we got saved. You say, well, the devil's been on me a lot here lately. Take him back to that place where you got born again. Take him back over and say, hey, look at him. You remember this place? I promise you, it'll make him mad and he'll leave for a little while. But take him to the place where you got saved. We need to get a checkup, because sometimes there's a deliberate absence from service. We was put here to serve. A lot of times we make excuses about serving. But we need to check up, because a child of God ought to want to serve. A child of God ought to want to do something for the Lord. There's envy a lot of times creeps in because this one's getting to do more. Look, I've been in that position to where I had to do it all. I mean, I had to do it. It's good to have folks that'll take the load off of the pastor, and off the associate pastor, and off the pastor's wife. Hey, if the pastor's having to do it all, he don't need none of us to work. It's good for us to help him. But so many times, folks want to get upset because this one's doing more than them. I won't ever forget, I was pastoring a church, and it come time for, they had a nominating committee. They had a committee for everything. But anyway, they had a nominating committee. And I talked to the deacons, I said, them's doing everything. I said, we're going to swap it up a little bit. I thought I could do that as pastor, but evidently I couldn't. I mean, they was ready to tar and feather me. I didn't know. I was young. So when we presented it to the church for them to vote on, guess what? They sat there, Brother Mike, and stuck their tongue out at me. Adults. Not kids, but adults. Because somebody else was going to get to do more than them. Hey, we in this thing together. Last time I preached, I got everybody down here and we was holding on to each other. It took all of us to keep from getting pulled into the world. Hey, it's going to take all of us to get home. Don't envy nobody for serving God. Get in there behind them and throw a little fuel on the fire and help them serve God. We need to be careful about that. A delay in duty. We got a duty as a child of God, and that's to serve God. That's to serve our family. And that's to serve our church. Because if we leave our family behind and take care of the church, then we've missed out. Fellowship gets broke. Promises get broke. Pledges get broke. We just need to check up once in a while. Old fella said it like this. He said, once in a while I have to go over to the well and let my bucket down, make sure there's still water in it. Sometimes we need to go over and let the bucket down. We was able, I don't know, it was last year we was up in Blue Ridge. That's where I was at. I was at a kids' camp up there when I got saved. I went back by over there and let my bucket down. I walked over to the same bench. It looked, they done cut the post off about that high. But I went over there nearly about the same bench. When I got there, there was a feeling. I'm glad I didn't feel what I got. Amen. It ain't all about feeling, but I'm sure glad I didn't feel it. I got back over there and I could feel there was just something different about that place. Check up once in a while. And lastly, I'll give you this and I'll be done. It's time for us to wake up, because it's about time for the trumpet to sound. We're nearly about going home time. We're nearly about going home time. When the trumpet sounds, this announces the return of Christ. When we hear the trumpet sounds, this is announcing the rapture of the church and the resurrection of those saved that are in the grave, pulling them up. When we hear the trumpet sound, we're going home. When we hear the trumpet sound, there'll be a translation of the saints moving from one place to the other. We're going up. Everybody says, oh, the church is going down. No, we're going up. We're moving up. Translation of the church, the child of God. There's a tidal wave of skeptics in our day and hour. They deny the Bible is the infallible Word of God. They destroy those that believe the Bible to be the true Word of God. There's a tidal wave. They denounce that Christ is really the Christ. That's the day that we're living in. There's a tribulation that'll happen for the lost sinners. Unimaginable as to what will take place. But there's a triumph of the tribulation for the saved. Those that are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those that have been born again. There'll be triumph for us. Because when the trumpet sounds, we're going home. May we wake up and check up. May we wake up and stand up. And may we wake up and allow the Holy Spirit of God to stir us up so that we can be called up and leave behind a faithful witness that they were born again. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. God, may you bless our feeble efforts. God, may it challenge us in the days ahead. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.